Way Back with Johnny on YouTube, where I have a lot of old interviews and shows up and are added daily and weekly. With that mentioned, welcome to the third and final hour of this weekend's program. And I would also like to now salute a double feature of sorts. First off, it's going to be Hank Thompson, who recorded 1952, the song that would get Kitty Wells' career off to an amazing start. And that was the first song in a series called Wild Side of Life. We'll then follow with the Honky Tonk Angels, as they called themselves, which consisted of Loretta Lynn, Dolly Parton, and Tammy Wynette, and also featuring Miss Kitty Wells and their all-time version of their cover, It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. With that, here's my salute to these classic songs of country music. Welcome, and friends, to the third and final hour.
It was a full 3 months before that song really started to bud. And then all of a sudden, boy, when it did, it shot right to the top and stayed there forever, seemed like.
You wouldn't read my letter if I wrote you. You asked me not to call you on the phone. But there's something I'm wanting to tell you. So I wrote it in the words of this song. I didn't know God made honky-tonk angels. I might have known you'd never make a wife. You gave up the only one that ever loved you and went back to the wild side of life. The glamour of the gay nightlife has lured you to the places where the wine and liquor flow, where you wait to be anybody's baby and forget the truest love you'll ever know. God made honky-tonk angels. I might have known you'd never make a wife. You gave up the only one that ever loved you and went back to the wild side of life.
always liked Kitty sing. I always thought she had a real homey voice, and it was so unaffected. And I think that sincerity permeated her music and went then to permeate the hearts of all of her fans.
Now, friends, it's once again that time in the program to take our weekly trip down east to the mighty Maritimes of Canada in the segment I like to call The Great Atlantic Lullaby. With that mentioned, I would like to now salute the pioneering voices of the Maritimes of Canada with a couple of classics. First of all, we'll hear Eddie Coffey in his all-time classic version of Kitty Wells' Mommy for a Day, but as sung by the man's side of the story called Daddy for a Day. Then follow with our King of the Newfies, Michael T. Wall, and a classic called Newfoundland Folks. And we'll wrap up this selection with none other than a song that my dear friend Vic Garbutt played recently on his radio show on CJHR Valley Heritage. It'll be Lynn Crowell and Lighthouse Route. And we'll dedicate this to Vic and Linda May out there today. With that, I would like to say a huge hello to my dear friends Peter and Myrna Trenholm in Pugwash, Nova Scotia, down east. With that, welcome in, friends, and happy listening. Here on this Way Back with Johnny Show.
I go to see my little boy each Sunday afternoon, and how I dread the words I know he'll say. He asks me when I'm coming home, I'll answer pretty soon.
think I'm joking, friends, but what I say is true. We'll invite you home for a mug of tea or a feed of fish and brew. So come all you good people, I'd like to shake your hand. Good luck and best wishes from the folks of Newfoundland. Yes, good luck and best wishes from the folks of Newfoundland.
From the rocks in Peggy's Cove to the scenic Cape Horseshoe, there's 32 in all.
Recording artist Peter Trenum from Nova Scotia. You've got my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the way back, where you'll find the very best in country music.
So farewell, farewell to Nova Scotia's charms. It's early in the morning and I'm far, far away.
Once again, it's that time in the program to pay tribute to a high lonesome sound of bluegrass music. With that mentioned, we have a collection of bluegrass-style songs for y'all next. First of all, we're going to hear from our good friends down in New Brunswick, Spinney Brothers, and a classic song called My Music Came From Bill. We'll then follow with my dear friend, Leona Williams, from Branson, Missouri. She was also known as the wife of none other than Merle Haggard, and she did a classic song tribute to Bill Monroe called The Legend, and then we'll wrap up up with a live recording from the Grand Ole Opry Archives from around 1940 and called The Mule Skinner Blues, and is, of course, performed by none other than William Smith Monroe, the father of bluegrass music, Bill Monroe with that. Here's my salute to a true legend of bluegrass music and the true father of bluegrass music, Bill Monroe. Welcome in, friends.
The golden rule. Got my gift of gab from Grandpa, my learning back in the hills. But when it comes to my music, I got all that from Bill.
Bill's high tenor voice was like a bluebird sky. Earl worked the neck of that old five, didn't his fingers fly?
Old Lester May could G runs, that Monroe sound was real.
Yeah, when it comes to my music, I got all that from Bill.
Car from Detroit City, it's shiny as can be. Got my woman from the country, right here in Tennessee. My baby's tender loving, it sure gives me a thrill. But when it comes to my music, I got all that from Bill.
Bill's high tenor voice was like a bluebird sky. Earl worked the neck of that old five, didn't his fingers fly?
Old Lester May could G runs, that Monroe sound was real.
Yeah, when it comes to my music, I got all that from Bill.
Southern rain, I thank God for his blessings, for my family name. My faith comes from sweet Jesus, my hope from Calvary's hill, my memories from my gone days, but my music comes from Bill.
Bill's high tenor voice was like a bluebird sky. Earl worked the neck of that old five, didn't his fingers fly?
Lester May could G run, that Monroe sound was real.
Yeah, when it comes to my music, I got all that from Bill. Yeah, when it comes to my music, I got all that from Bill.
He had something different to offer at the Grand Ole Opry. All dressed up in his suit and tie, his white hat and his mandolin in hand. He came here to Nashville with a bunch of boys he called his bluegrass band.
He's a legend and a hero in the world of bluegrass music, we all know. From Maine to California, his music sure to steal the show. His songs will chill you to the bone and make you dance each time the fiddles play. He's the father of our bluegrass from Kentucky, and his music's here to stay.
He'd sing high as heaven and everybody listened when he'd sing. And the song about his Uncle Bill, everybody knew the king. Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining on the man that we all know. 'Cause when it comes to bluegrass, the greatest name of all is Bill Monroe.
time has come on our Grand Ole Opry to present William Monroe of the Kentucky Monroes, and the tune is one of his favorites, and it'll really fix you up, friend. It's that old Mule Skinner Blues. Bill, come on in here.
Good morning, Captain. Good morning, Shine. Do you need another music in out on your new line? You're I can pop my initials on a millennial dime. Yodelay. Party on me to bring you back. Bring a Walker and King and a John B. Stetson. Yodelay. Working on day. A little woman's in town every Saturday night to do my little pay. You're late. Water boy, bring that bucket around. How? If you don't like your job, set your water bucket down. How? Yodelay.
Bill, you got something there, and we're not going to trade it for anything I know about. Yes, sir, that old...
Oh, the people would come from far away. They danced all night till the break of day. When the caller hollered, do-si-do, you knew Uncle Pin was ready to go.
Hello, this is William Monroe II, grandson of Bill Monroe. You're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the Way Back with Johnny Show.
Late evening, about sundown, on a hill.
Now, friends, I'd like to once again invite y'all to relive with me the second half of this great interview and visit that I got to do in 2021, that's 5 years ago, with the family of Miss Kitty Wells and Johnny Wright. With that mentioned, I would like to share that this is a interview that I class as one of my all-time favorites from the pioneers of country music that I got to interview. We'll then follow this interview with a 1965 signature song by Johnny Wright that is called Hello Vietnam. With that, let's turn back the years some 5 years ago and revisit this interview with Bobby Wright and Sue Sturtevant, the children of Kitty and Johnny.
Now, Sue, you recorded at age 9 a gospel favorite of ours titled How Far Is Heaven?
Right. She had recorded that one of her earliest songs that she did on RCA, and they decided to redo it with me. I was about 9 years old at the time, and I was fortunate enough to do that. I stood on a Coca-Cola box or two.
Oh, yeah.
To reach the mic, to be at Mama's level.
Yeah.
And it was really an experience.
I bet it was. was, and it's something you hold on to every day, I bet.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Dust on the Bible also, that was one of her biggest gospel hits, I think.
For sure, Dust on the Bible.
Yeah. And I guess she did both of those songs from then on the stage.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I see. And Bobby, you also recorded a few as a young child, including My Mama Didn't Raise No Foolish Children.
Yeah, that wasn't truthful.
Yeah.
I did record that. The first one I did was Tommy Collins had a big hit, and I tried to cover him on it. You just better not do that.
Mm-hmm.
That was
yes.
52, and then I did have Mama Didn't Raise No Foolish Children.
Okay.
I got away from it for a while, and then I went back when I started 17 or 18, I started recording again. I got interested in playing ball in school and everything, so I got that out of my system and started back in the music business when I graduated from high school.
Okay. But you also had a little bit of a Hollywood career there with McHale's Navy as well.
Yeah, I went out there to do the, I thought they said to prepare enough clothes and bring enough clothes for 6 weeks, and I ended up being out there 4.5 years. It was a successful TV series, McHale's Navy, with Ernest Borgnine.
Yes, do you have any memories of Ernest?
Oh, yeah, he was great. He would stand by his crew, all the members of the crew, and that was my first job, you know, in the acting business, and he took me aside. If the director started giving me a hard time, he would just stop the shooting and go over there and talk to the director, and the director wouldn't bother me anymore. If I didn't hit my marks, he wouldn't say anything. So I have a lot of fond memories of Ernie.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, going back into your father's career a little bit here, your father had the signature song, Hello Vietnam. Where did that originate from?
Well, Tom T. Hall wrote that song, and that was back when the war was really raging over there, and Tom T. said, I don't know whether we should get anybody to record this or not at this particular time. But Dad said, well, I think with all the troops going over there, that a lot of people and families back here would like to hear, you know, the song and bring back some memories and everything. So he recorded it, and it just happened to be the right time to put it out.
Exactly.
That was actually his first single after Jack passed away.
That's what I understand, Sue. Yes, yes. And was there any backlash from that song at all?
Not that I recollect, no.
Okay.
No, as a matter of fact, it's kind of an anthem. Those that fought in Vietnam, what was the name of the group that came? We had some Vietnam veterans, actually, that on their motorcycles that were in front of the funeral motorcade that when he passed away. So it was an anthem.
Yeah, it was also used in that movie, Full Metal Jacket.
Yes, it sure was. And you, Bobby, also wrote a song for your parents. I understand it was you that wrote We'll Stick Together.
Yeah, me and Bill Phillips. Bill Phillips worked with Family Show for, I guess, 17 years or so, and we got together. He was writing a song, and they needed a chorus for it, so I came up with the chorus and a few lines in the verses, but it was a very successful song for them.
Okay, and it's one of our most played on the Jamboree here at Anniversary Time. Now, I would like to ask about the origins of one of my all-time favorite Kitty Wells and Johnny Wright songs. It's a Christmas song, and that is There Won't Be Any Tree This Year for Christmas.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't remember who wrote it, but was that it was kind of an add-on that they decided to do. I'm not sure, but they decided to record it, and Daddy did the rotation on it, and it has been a favorite of those that hear it, but I'm not sure it was ever on the charts or anything.
No, it was the B-side of White Christmas, that's for sure, yes.
Right.
Yeah, so it was on the flip side. As Eddie Stubbs used to say, it was this little song that wasn't meant to see the light of day.
Amen. That is so true.
Now, I understand Bobby toured quite a bit with your parents, but did you guys both ever tour the Canadian provinces with them?
Oh, gosh. You know what? When we were growing up, of course, Mom and Dad would tour Canada just about every year, and when we were in school, the summer came, we would, it was either in the cars to begin with, or we would go on the bus then next and tour Canada with them. And Mom and Dad took me, Bobby, and Ruby every summer. We were just part of the show. If you you went with them, you also had to get on stage, didn't you, Bobby?
Exactly.
And they even made Stephanie here. All the grandkids had to do the same. So all of us had toured with them at one time or the other.
I see. Yes. Okay.
We had years, I guess the last 10 or 12 years
yes.
that we toured, we all, Dad made sure that we worked at least 40 days a year. In Canada.
In Canada.
Brian Edwards of Rockland Talent.
Yes.
He signed us on, and we went from one coast to the other. We did that. You know, we worked like 40 days a year up there, all across Canada. Best audiences in the world.
Amazing.
They still love country music up there.
They sure do.
You know, we used to like, I don't think you have them anymore, but one thing when I was little I always remembered about Canada was the snack bar candy bars that you had.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, I think they quit making those, and then we went to Mr. Big.
Yes, Mr. Big, yes, I know that.
They were all of our favorites.
I see, yes. And the question for Stephanie is, what are your favorite memories of your grandparents?
Gosh, my favorite memories are just Christmas time, for one thing, being with them, and, you know, Papa was always a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Florida every year, the family would always get on the bus, and we'd all drive down to Daytona Beach every year. So I'd go and walk the beach with Papa. I called him Papa.
Yes.
And I'd walk the beach with him. And me and Mom would cook us lunch every day down there. So those are some of my best memories.
Okay. And so in closing, in the coming years, how would you like to see the family's rich history in country music to be remembered?
That they did it the right way.
Yes. Exactly. They sure did.
They were true to their fans, their family, friends, and they were just loved.
And there never was any controversy in their careers.
Nope. Amen.
That's true.
Amen. That's for sure. Yes, that is true. Not like they are nowadays. Everything is controversial and everything else.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, I want to thank you for a trip down memory lane. It's been a pleasure talking to you all, and may the good Lord bless each and every one of you.
Thank you so much.
You.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yes, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Put out will bigger burn. We must save freedom now at any cost. or someday our own freedom will be lost.
Kiss me goodbye and wipe me while I'm gone. Goodbye, my sweetheart. Hello, Vietnam.
You gotta keep those cards and letters coming in.
Howdy, friends, listeners. This here is your old host with most country western music and bluegrass music, Johnny Woodlock. And I'd like to invite y'all, my listeners, to write yours truly, Johnny Woodlock, as well as Sim Bush and also Little Gunny. Here at the Woodlock Ranch and Studios. Have you ever had a thought or a message for us about this program you hear weekly? If so, we would love to hear from you. So write to us at our email address at waybackwoodlock@gmail.com and we'll be sure to write you back. In the meantime, back to the show, friends, and happy listening.
So keep those cards and letters coming in.
Now, friends, I have interviewed many people over the years, and with that mentioned, following this interview with Sue Sturdiva and Bobby Wright, we are now back once again, and it's that time in the program where I would like to play a clip from a very special archived interview that I also got to do with a former band member of the Tennessee Mountain Boys, which was, of course, Kitty Wells' band, Keith Bradford. With that mentioned, we'll follow this clip from this interview with an all-time classic song that he recorded and wrote also called Tribute to Kitty Wells. So with that, let's turn back the years to another tribute and relive this interview with Keith Bradford of the Tennessee Mountain Boys. And you wrote and recorded a tribute song to Miss Kitty.
Sure. It's called A Tribute to Kitty Wells.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1992, I got a poem in the mail from a gentleman named Clyde R. Berkla from New Mexico, and it was entitled A Tribute to Kitty Wells. And he was asking me if I thought enough of it to put some music to it and record it. And I wrote him back and I said, in order for me to do this, I'm going to have to change several of the lines that you've got in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because historically they're incorrect.
Yes.
Like, for example, one of the lines was, I love to see her flowing golden curls. Well, she was never a blonde.
Exactly, ever. That's right.
So there was lines within his poem that were historically not correct, which I told him, if you'll allow me to go in and change all the lines that are not correct and rework it where it will still rhyme and still say the same story, but say it in a way that is, because if you look at the lyric sheet on that, there are 9 number one Kitty Wells song titles.
Exactly.
In the lyric sheet. Within those lines of the lyric of that song, 9 number one Kitty Wells titles are within the storyline of that song. And we used to even hold contests during the Kitty Wells show. When I would sing that, we would tell the audience whoever could first come up with a piece of paper that had the 9 number one song titles correct, they would get an autographed Kitty Wells cookbook. And sometimes they would get real, real close.
Yes.
But you got to remember, they only had 3.5 minutes.
Exactly.
The song's 3.5 minutes long, so they only had 3.5 minutes to decipher which lines in that song were number one song titles.
That's right.
So not everybody can do it in 3.5 minutes. They got to hear it over and over and over again. Like, for example, even yourself, being a Kitty Wells fan, I doubt, like heck, if you could really jot down the 9 number one titles right off the top of your
no,
head.
No, I couldn't.
But they're right there.
Yeah.
They're right there. When you listen to the song, there's 9 number one song titles, 9 number one Kitty Wells song titles. From the time the song begins and it ends, within that song, you're going to hear 9 number one Kitty Wells song titles. That's right. The way the song was designed. It was designed to tell a story by way of her number one hits.
Exactly. And it's often played on the show.
Sings one by one the songs of life. While searching down through the years, sorrow, tears, and strife. She sings of honky-tonk angels and those backstreet affairs. All for you and me, her music she has shared. I'd put my hard-earned nickels in the jukebox, and when I'd hear how far is heaven, the tears would always start. Whether looking for a job or fighting that old war, Kitty Wells, you're still my favorite country music star. Gave her wedding dress away, but when I hear Amigo's guitar, it helps to make my day. Once she sang with Johnny and Jack about those who would deceive. Guess my favorite song of all is Making Believe. I'd put my hard-earned nickels in the jukebox, when I'd hear how far is heaven, the tears would always start. Whether looking for a job or fighting that old war, Kitty Wells, you're still my favorite country music star. Favorite country music star.
Now, friends, I would like to pay tribute to another way back song of the week. With that mentioned, next weekend would have been our second anniversary of the annual tribute to Christmas in July, but we had a passing recently in the country music family of Canadian country music. That, of course, was Tommy Hunter. So next weekend, we will be paying tribute to Tommy and a 3-hour tribute to him. But for right now, I'd like to pay tribute to the flip side of Kitty Wells' single, White Christmas, and that came out in 1969 and is a classic tearjerker written by Walter Bales of the Bales Brothers, and is to me one of the saddest recordings but most heart touching songs that Kitty and Johnny recorded. With that, it'll be the timeless classic that is one of my all-time favorite non-traditional Christmas songs, called There Won't Be Any Tree This Year for Christmas. With that, I will not be doing a tribute to Christmas in July this year, but I will be paying tribute to Tommy Hunter next week. With that, here's Kitty Wells and Johnny Wright. Welcome in, friends.
He never was a healthy child, and we always feared for him. Though we both had always tried to fuel the life that had grown dim. So we didn't think it strange when the family doctor said, if you have any plans to fill for him, better set those plans ahead. He'd never known a real Christmas. You see, he was then only 3. So we planned an all-out Christmas with the most beautiful of all trees. Now here it was in late August, and Christmas yet 4 months away. But the doctor had said he would leave us by fall, so we had to hasten the day. September instead of December, just 3 months before Christmas Day. A big tree in his room was glistening with gifts, toys and candy array. His eyes really lit up when he saw it, and his little heart was just bubbling with joy. But the tears filled the eyes of all present. We knew he was such a sick boy. Just a few days longer, he lingered. Then angels took him away to be with the giver of Christmas. So you understand when we say,
there won't be any tree this Christmas.
And well, yes, friends, I have a very special archived 100-year-old recording that I would like to share with y'all next as the Way, Way Back Song of the Week. And that, of course, was a song that came out 100 years ago as of this coming year, 2027. Having been recorded by many of the original pioneers of country music, it is a song which Miro Deason Wright obtained her name, Kitty Wells, from. Here's an old-time folk song titled Sweet Kitty Wells, and is a version recorded by the legendary Bradley Kincaid from 1927. With that, let's turn back the years to nearly 100 years ago and relive this all-time classic, which gave, yes, Miss Kitty Wells her name.
And I understand Kitty Wells wasn't your mother's given name. Your father actually had taken it from an old folk song.
Yes, that's true. The Ballad of Kitty Wells was an old folk song, and they were trying to come up with a name that would be easy to remember instead of Merle Wright. And they just, Ellen Merle Deason or any, they come up with a lot of different names, but they didn't have one that would stick out and they thought people would recognize and it means something. Kitty Wells.
You ask what makes me, why he, like others, am not gay. What makes the tears flow down his cheeks from early morn till close of day? My story you shall hear, for in my memory fresh it dwells. Will cause you all to drop a tear o'er the grave of my sweet Kitty Wells. I never shall forget the day that we together roamed the dells. I kissed her cheeks and named the day that I would marry Kitty Wells. But death came to my cabin door and took from me my joy and pride. And when I found she was no more, I laid my banjo down and cried. Small birds were singing in the morning, and the myrtle and the ivy were in bloom, and the sun o'er the hilltops was dawning. It was then we laid her in the tomb. I sometimes wish that I were dead than sorrow that bows down my head is silent in the midnight gloom. The springtime has no charm for me, though flowers are blooming in the dell. For that bright form I do not see, 'tis the
Why did you change Muriel Deason to Kitty Wells?
Well, we were working in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Lowell Blanchard, who was the manager of the station there and the MC of the Midday Merry-Go-Round. And so we'd been working up there, Johnny and Eddie Hill and I. So he told Johnny that people like to hear that girl sing, and says, I think if she had a name easy to remember, that she might really go places in this business.
He didn't like Muriel Deason.
Well, I don't know if he didn't like it or not. He just thought maybe an easier name to remember might be better.
Now, aren't you named after an old folk song?
That's right, old folk song.
The song called Sweet Kitty Wells.
Mm-hmm. And Johnny came up with that title.
Now, friends, it's once again that time to say so long from the Way Back with Johnny Show here on CFRC 119 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. With that mentioned, I'd like to thank each and every one of my listeners for tuning in to the program today. I'd also like to thank Miss Kitty Wells, the true undisputed queen of country music, for her lifetime and career in country music. She was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville as the first official lady in the Country Music Hall of Fame, inducted in 1976. She sadly passed away at the age of 92 on July 16, 2012, and she will forever be remembered for her contribution as the true queen and only true queen of country music, in my opinion. With that, let's send us all home today with a classic called How Far Is Heaven, and we'll dedicate this in loving memory of my late father, Papa Willie B., who took me many years ago to see our beloved queen of country music in about 2004 on her farewell tour. With that mentioned, we'll dedicate this in loving memory of my late father, who is in heaven. Then we'll wrap up this set with none other than another Kitty Wells favorite, and it will be called I Heard My Savior Calling Me. With that, I would like to say so long from the Way Back with Johnny Show, and may God bless and keep each and every one of you till we meet again next Sunday, as we pay tribute to Canada's country gentleman, Tommy Hunter, in a 3-hour tribute. So long for now, friends, and keep it country out there and traditional.
call. Praise God, I heard my Savior call. I was a sinner traveling on a weary road so far from home. But now sweet heaven is my all. Praise God, I heard my Savior call.
People would think of me as a role artist, and I hope that I have tried to live my life, you know, so people would think that way of me.
Show is over, another day gone by, with good friends all around me, how the time would fly.
Howdy, friends and listeners. This here is your old host with most, Johnny Whitlock, reporting for Way Back with Johnny over this great channel. The previous show does not represent anything associated with the channel heard on. It is the sole associate of Whitlock Ranch Studios, Cornwall, Ontario. With that, have a great day, and we'll catch y'all next week. So long, friends.
It's hard to find the words I want to say, but friends, I'll try. God bless you all and keep